All right, good morning and God's blessing on you. No. Thank you. God is so good. It's always such a joy to gather together with each of you on a Sunday morning. Every Sunday that we come together and we worship and we hear God's word and we experience a refreshing from God together, it's always powerful moments for me. So what a gift it is to belong to this kind of church where we can be connected and where we can meet with God. Church statement in 3, 2, 1, love God and love others. Awesome. One of our main themes that we've decided to hold on to for this season in our church life is the theme of deeper connections. So today, as part of our Just One series, I'd like to get really focused and narrow down. We want deeper connections in all of our church areas, but I'd like to focus this morning on just one particular connection to bring it all the way down to creating one relationship within our church. And today is all going to be just talking about that, creating one connection with persons. Now, there's a lot of people there, and sometimes we're, you know, we all want to get to know everyone and that kind of thing, and that can be a bit overwhelming. And so today, we're just going to dial in on the idea of connecting to just one person. And why God wants that. This isn't simply about being friendly on Sundays, because our church is crushing that. Every person who ever comes here, they always say, your church is so kind, they're so friendly, they're so good, they're so welcoming. And I want to talk today about building relationships where people genuinely know you, they encourage you, they pray for you, and they walk in life with you. Paul reminds us in the book of Galatians the importance of this. In Galatians 6, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. God certainly calls us to love everyone. He asks us to love our enemies, to love non-believers, to share the gospel with them. But Scripture also gives a special attention to caring for the brothers and sisters who are at your local church. We're not talking about the church-wide in general. Yes, brothers and sisters in all Christianity, but I can't connect to the Kenyan believers or the Portuguese believers or these kind of things. God has put us in a local church, and he's talking about creating a special connection to those people who are at your local church together. And so let's explore the importance of adding a just one connection here at JRC. So it's quite small. It's just within us. This is a message for kind of our church. If you're new here, this is your first time, or you're watching online, we'd love you to come and also join in those connections. But today is about the body and the family of believers right here. Jesus gives us this powerful command in John chapter 13. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus does not present this as a suggestion. This is a non-negotiable. It's a command. He commands us to love one another as a sign of our commitment to him. He doesn't say, like, if you can find the time, or, like, if your personality fits, or calling all extroverts, it's time to love people. This is for every single believer. And so if you're a believer here, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has something to say to you today. It doesn't matter whether you're introvert or extrovert, if you're shy or outgoing, or if you're young or if you're old. If you're listening to God's scriptures, he's wanting to say something to you if you're available to listen this morning. This is for every believer. Jesus says that the world will recognize his disciples. This is the only place it says this in the scriptures. They will recognize you as disciples, not because you know the Bible really well, not because you attend church all the time, not because you pray really loud. The world will know that you are his disciples by your love for one another. Those other things are great. You got to know, you got to pray, you got to know the scriptures, you got to study. But you will be recognized not by your loud claims, but by your interaction with one another. We're talking about, look to your left, right. We don't like to look around in service, but sneak a peek, left, right. By your love for those people who are right next to you.
Our relationships with one another become one of the greatest testimonies to an unbelieving world. When people see Christians genuinely caring for one another, forgiving one another, supporting one another, they catch a glimpse of Jesus himself. See, God commanded us to love one another because it reflects how he acts and who he is. In 1 John 4, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Commands given by God are always for our good. They flow from the character of God, and they reflect who he is. God doesn't tell us to love because he wants to put a burden on us. He tells us to love because he is love. He tells us because being loved by God and loving others is the healthiest possible lifestyle. See, when God tells you to do something, it's not to make you jump through hoops, not to see if you're a trick pony. Like those of you who have dogs, you make them sit and spin and stand, but they don't get anything out of it. There's no value in that. I mean, it's fun to kind of do, and then they're obedient to you. But that isn't why God does this. He's not saying, do this. Oh, look, oh, they're obedient to me. It's not that same kind of thing. God gives us a command because it is the best thing for us. It's the healthiest, greatest relationships are ones that are defined by God. As recipients of his love, we get the privilege of becoming distributors of his love to other people. And the Bible gives us many characteristics of what godly connections look like. I want to look at just a few of them. In Romans 12, it says, "Be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves." Devotion, not convenience, not occasional interaction. A synonym would be loyal or loyalty, not easily giving up on a relationship. He says, honor one another. Honor is this word that lifts up, puts another person's needs and schedule and timing ahead of your own. It drops personal pride. It crosses over barriers. It breaks down walls. Honor lifts up. It doesn't tear down. A mark of our relationship should be that we are honoring one another and that we're devoted to one another, that it doesn't just easily slip in and out. In Southern California, this is so hard, especially in a church setting, because there are 50,000 churches, and if something maybe you don't like about your church, people just so easily skip to a new church, or they go to another place, or it's just so easy or convenient to change based on what I need or what I want. And God is saying, like, when I put you in a love relationship in a community, I want you to be connected to that. I want you to be devoted to that. And I want you to honor one another. It doesn't mean that there's never a reason to leave. Sometimes there are great reasons to leave, whether you move or get a different job. And sometimes there's a different season in your life, and that happens occasionally. But we want to keep in mind that the Bible is calling us in our relationships to be devoted to one another. That's a pretty heavy, big word. Peter adds another layer in 1 Peter 4:8. He says, "Above all, love each other deeply." Not shallowly, deeply. Deep love necessitates trust and consistency. Deep relationships require vulnerability. And this is one of the hardest parts, because vulnerability can be scary. It's a little risky, because if you're vulnerable, then someone else has the power to hurt you. But if you're not vulnerable, then you'll never love deeply. You cannot love deeply without exposing yourself to vulnerability. And this is something that I think we need to hear as a church. We're really good at caring and talking to one another. But we need to get to this place where you have one or two people where you can share your most vulnerable stuff. Or you could just say, this is exactly who I am and what I'm going through. And not to everybody, but just one connection, one relationship. Paul also writes this about deep connections. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you, in fact, are doing." So this is a two-way street. Encourage one another, build each other up. Healthy relationships aren't one person always giving to the other person, but rather they're both encouraged, they're both praying, they're both strengthening one another. One of the reasons that I've been successful, I firmly believe this, in having ministry for almost 35 years, many of my friends started out in ministry and they burned out and they got frustrated and they got overwhelmed and they left ministry. And one of the reasons I firmly believe that I have been able to remain in ministry is because I am willing to receive love as well as give love. Many pastors feel like it's their job to just pour out to the congregation and give love and give love and give love. And they don't, they're like, oh no, it doesn't come back this way. But if you think about that, that would make an impossible situation. There is no person who has enough love to continue to give out, give out, give out, and not run out, not run dry, not get burned out. And so I believe that in order to have real right relationships, we have to bless one another. I got to receive back from you, not just give to you. Look, I have a specific calling. I have a duty as the shepherd of this church to care for your soul. And God has called me to do that. But he's called you to particular gifts. He's given you particular duties. And I'm involved in those. And I get to be the recipient of the blessing. The moment that I block this off and say, no, no, I just pour it down to you. One, that puts me higher than you are. You know, oh, you couldn't possibly, streams don't flow upstream, you know. But it also then makes it impossible for me to have a sustained ministry life. We have to connect back and forth with one another as a pastor and a person, but that has to be in your own relationships as well as we connect to one another. It can't be just one person always like being the one who's, oh, I'm the encourager and this other person's just the dumper all the time. It's got to be a reciprocal relationship. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up. I receive blessing from you, and hopefully you receive blessing from me, but not just in this relationship, but in your other relationships here at the church. We see this idea clearly in Proverbs 27, when it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. See, it's mutual. Every time that we're together, we help each other become a little more like Jesus. I was thinking about it in our verse-by-verse study that we have. It's coming in just a few weeks, 3 weeks. We'll be starting that back up. In our verse-by-verse study, I lead this study. And I was telling my wife this last session, but I think when I go there, probably more than half of this, the people that come to the Bible study to learn, I think they know more than I do. I think they're pretty seasoned, experienced Christians, and I love it. I'm not scared or intimidated by it because I don't think that I have to be everything. I don't think that I have to know everything. And so I come to there. I have something to share. God's put something that I get to prepare. I get to lead it. But you know what? I also get to learn. I'm sharing something about the Old Testament. Ellison, she'll almost always have an insight about the Old Testament. She loves the Old Testament. She loves, like, ancient Jewish culture. And I'll say something. She said, what about this idea? And I was like, I never even heard that one. Tell us about it. And she shares and gives her insight. And I am sharpened by her being in that Bible study. Or our sister, Pastor Esta, I'll say something about a Greek word or something. And the moment I say, oh, I wonder what this word means, I know she's like this, shh. Greek word, looking it up and its uses in the Bible. And by the time I finish my sentence, she has like three uses in the Bible of this Greek word. And she's able to say, here are the ways that it's used. Here's how it's parsed out. And fantastic. I love it. I got to share something and then I got to receive something back. She was sharper after having spent time with me. But you know what? I'm sharper ever after having spent time with her. That's how healthy relationships look like in the Christian world. I'm sharpened because of them and vice versa. So I want to encourage you to have connections that result in you being sharper, not duller. Think about, after I interact with this person, are they better off? Are they nearer to Jesus? And am I nearer to Jesus? And if I'm not, maybe I can address it with them. Maybe I can discuss, hey, that's not super helpful when you do this. You know what would be really helpful? If we could actually open up, or if we could actually talk about this, or if you reciprocated by asking a question back, however it would work, but it has to be an iron sharpens iron situation for healthy, connected relationships. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a 50-50 balance. There are times in my life when I need people to pour into me much more than I can pour back. When I've been in hurting situations or difficult moments in life, that's not the time to say, well, I helped you, and now it's your time to help me in this moment, right? Our relationships aren't necessarily exactly 50-50, but they're reciprocal. One of the beauties of connection in the church body is that they don't all look the same. So when I'm trying to think about, like, want to encourage you to have just one connection, like, sometimes connections are in a mentor relationship, mentor and mentee. And sometimes they're like accountability partners where you meet just like for spiritual reasons. And sometimes connections are just in good friends. And sometimes connections are ambiguous. And so I love that. Sometimes it's simply like a close friend. The Bible describes David and Jonathan in the Old Testament with words like loyalty, a friendship that's rooted in sacrifice and faithfulness. And we see their great love for one another. And we've all, at this church, had the privilege of watching our own David and Jonathan relationship blossom, a beautiful friendship grow. I think of Peter Cho and Peter Chang, right? JRC's greatest bromance. They play volleyball together. They go out and eat snacks after. They care about each other. They text each other. They know about their lives. This is one of those friendships that make us, if you know them at all, it makes you smile. And it makes you a little bit jealous, like in the best possible way. Like, oh, I love that for them. And then you're kind of like, oh, I'd love to have like that kind of too. Sometimes it is just in friendship like that. Sometimes the connection is as a mentor. Like Paul was a mentor to Timothy, someone who's a little further down the spiritual road, someone whose life you admire and you look up to. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, he said, 11, he says, follow my example as I follow Jesus. So he says, like, look at my life and let me input into your life and follow this thing that I'm doing. Just a couple of weeks ago, some of the guys and I were sitting around, me, Charles, and I can't remember who else was there, but some of the younger married guys were sitting around. And Charles was giving relational advice about the importance of investing in your spouse, even as your kids are in elementary and junior high and high school, because that spousal relationship is really important. And he was sharing about like how he and his wife were at a crossroad at one point, and they had to choose to reconnect and stay connected, and it was a lot of work to do that. And so he was mentoring these young guys, and we all listened because Charles can kill us all in like 27 different ways, like, right? So he's got like multiple ways that he could end you. And so you listen and you receive from Charles as the mentor. Even me, my kids are like all grown, but I'm like, yes, okay, I'll do it. Whatever you say, Charles. Sometimes connections are like both friendship and mentorship, and it's like kind of a really close blend. I think of our sister Syl like this. Oftentimes she befriends people, but she also kind of mentors them. She helps walk alongside of them, but she prays and cares for them. And she's friends, but sometimes she's in a different life stages there, but she still connects. Are they friends? Are they mentor? Is she their mentor? It's kind of muddy, and it's beautifully muddy. And I think that's okay. Last summer, Jaden and I, we were missions roommates. Now, Jaden, if you don't know him, he's in 10th grade, and I'm just a couple of grades above that. Look, I'm his pastor. This is a poor kid got stuck with me, you know, like. But during that time, there were times where he was just praying for me. And there were times when I was praying for him. And we laughed together, talked about life, talked about his life, my life, connected, developed a deeper connection. Was it a friendship? Mentorship? Not technically. Accountability? A little bit. Just hanging out, what exactly is that relationship? It doesn't matter. It's a deeper connection to someone. At the retreat last weekend, Pastor John mentioned several times how amazed he was at our breakout groups. So our breakout groups had junior hires, high school, college, young adults, adults, and double adults, right? So like extended adults. And he said, that just never happens. He said, in all my churches that I've ever been at, I've never seen breakout groups have that sort of diversity of age range. Well, it does here. And I thank God that our church has that vibe, that the connection can be deep and flexible. It doesn't have to fall into all of the rules of, well, youth group only has to do with youth group, and college only talk to college group, and don't connect to anyone else. Oh, sorry, I'm much older than you. I can't be friends with you. but rather we can have all sorts of relationships. And relationships, they don't happen by accident. They happen because someone decides to intentionally invest in just one other person. Now, maybe you're thinking, like, I have enough friendships. I have enough connections. There was a time in my life where I was teaching, and this guy, Josh, he was a new teacher, and we got along pretty well. And he said, like, maybe you and I could be really good friends. And I said, nah, I have enough friends. And I was like, oh, that sounds so jerky. Like, it was so jerky. But I felt like, it was honest. I was being a jerk, but not joking. I just don't want to make any more friends. And then I had to go back and reassess and say, like, God, what a jerk answer. What a horrible answer. I was pastoring at the time, too. Don't judge. And I had to go back and reassess it. And a week later, I went back to Josh and said, I'd love to be friends with you. My bad earlier. I was totally wrong. Dumbest statement I've ever said. And so you're probably here thinking, like, oh, man, I have enough relationships. I have enough connections. They're deep. Wonderful. But there's always room for just one more. So let me ask you a couple of questions to help highlight our need. If you desperately needed prayer this week, maybe you experienced a painful breakup, maybe you lost your job, or you received difficult news from the doctor, as we're getting older, or simply you found yourself doubting your worth, who here at JRC would you text? Not do you have relationships at other places. I hope you do too. I hope you have other friends that are outside of here. Who at our church? We're talking about our church. We're talking about connection here. We're talking about building just one here. We're talking about deepness here. We're talking about the love for one another is demonstrated to the world by our love for the believers that are at our local church. Who here would you text? Who would you ask to stand with you? If you're facing a huge life decision, who would you trust enough to seek wisdom from? If you're under 25, you need to have a couple of people speaking wisdom into your life. You need to have your parents, so keep a good relationship. If you're under 25, keep a good relationship with your parents. You need to have some friends that will input into you. But you also need to have some adults that aren't your friends that will give wisdom to you as well. So adults that aren't related to you, that have this sort of detachment from your familial situation, that are able to speak into your life. Do you have one or two of those people? Not a lot. You just need one or two. Do we have those kind of connections? If you were struggling with an overwhelming sin, who would lovingly walk beside you instead of judging you? The answer to those questions reveal whether we're truly connected or not. Do we have people in mind right here in this church that we would go to those things for? And if we don't, then we're probably not deeply connected. And like, it's just honest. It's okay. Because once we realize that, then we could say, I do want to have deeper connections. Not with everybody, impossibility, it will overwhelm us. But perhaps I can just start to create one new connection. Just one. God never intended us to carry life's burdens alone. Some of us need a mentor. Some of us need to be a mentor. Some of us need friends. Some need an accountability person. Others just need a spill-the-tea person. Like, everyone could use just one connection. But again, let's be really honest. These kind of connections cost something, and the major cost is time. The thing I'm asking you to do, the thing that God's word is asking you to do, is going to cause time. It's going to cost time. Real relationships are not built in the 5 minutes chat in the lobby after service. That's where they begin, but that ought not to be where they end. They require coffee, probably lots of coffee, and they require phone calls or texts, lunches, praying together, checking in. Sometimes it's every single week. Sometimes in difficult seasons, it's every single day. These relationships, they don't appear overnight. They often take months or years to develop, but the investment is worth it. As we talk about just one, and keep saying this, like, develop this connection, maybe the Holy Spirit is already putting someone on your heart. maybe it's someone your age, maybe it's not your age, doesn't matter, maybe it's younger, older, maybe it's someone you've seen every single Sunday but you've never gotten to know. Don't wait for them to make the first move. You be intentional. Take the risk to connect. Begin investing in just one. And it's totally okay to tell them that you're doing it and say it's a response to this sermon so that the like awkward ice has already been broken. So I've already given you permission. You're hearing God's command that you want to connect. And so if you go up to someone today or this next week or 2 weeks and say, hey, I'm trying to respond to God's word. Pastor Sam was telling us, and I think the word is true, that we want to connect to just one. And I'd love to try to see if that connection's with you. And the awkward is broken because I just told you you're supposed to do it. And then you're just responding to God's word. Imagine what God could do if every person at GRC intentionally connected with just one other person. If we started to throw these connections, boom, 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 across the line, imagine what that starts to look like. Our church would become stronger, healthier, more loving, more resilient, more like Jesus. This is exactly what Jesus envisioned when he said to love one another. Let's become a church where no one walks through life alone. Let's become a church where every person has someone to call or text if they need it, someone to pray with, someone to encourage them, someone who will sharpen them, and they can help sharpen. And then let's watch what God does. Let's look for that just one. And that's the message for today. But as we think about the importance of connection with the body of Christ, let's also remember that there's some brothers and sisters going across the world this week to go to Thailand. 22 of our church people are going. And so we're going to take a moment right here in the middle of service to pray for them as we're closing and wrapping up here. And so if you, remember, we do missions as one church. You're either a goer or a sender. So if this is your church, you're one of those two camps. There's no neutral ground. And so if you're a goer, would you stand? And we're going to pray for you as you go out. They're leaving this Thursday night, early Friday morning, 12:30 a.m. And so let's pray for these folks right now. Father God, we just lift up this team that's going to go out this week. We pray for safety. We pray for health. But most importantly, we pray for spiritual abundance. We pray that your work would happen through these folks. We pray, God, that you would move in them and through them. And we pray for those that we'll be connecting to in Thailand. Would you develop relationships even across the globe, even within the team? God, we just pray for your hand in their lives, your hand in this missions, in this ministry. We pray, God, that you would be moving. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with them. So let's all stand up as a church as we close out our worship service. And we are going to missions as one church. You're either a goer or a sender. As they're flying, I'm going to encourage you every single day from Thursday until we get back the next Saturday, would you as a church be praying? Some of you have sponsored, you've supported them. Pray for those persons. And if you didn't turn in those cards before, just pray for our team. Because we're goers and we're senders and we need both. Let's worship and then we'll close.